Podcast. This is Andrew Kirkland subbing in for Zachary Cosby, leading off on the Sixth Sense podcast, the podcast profiling the UFFL, one of the most intense, most watched, most entertaining fantasy football league in the land. So we've got an amazing episode tonight, boys. We took a bye week last week. The U.S. election really took a lot out of us, so we couldn't muster the energy on the Wednesday evening. So I apologize for that. But now that's all behind us and we can get all that soap opera out of our way, we can focus on what's important now in life, and that's this UFFL season. So we've got a good episode tonight. We're joined with one of our mainstays, Matt York, obviously the commissioner, and we'll be speaking to him in the commissioner corner. And then we're being joined by a very special guest, which we'll introduce in a moment. But I think everyone's going to love having him on the pod. And he's been one of the most active GMs in the league, not only in the WhatsApp chat, but also in the waiver wires and the transaction feeds. So it'll be good to get a lot of his insights and his takes on the league. So, but first, we'll kick it off with the commissioner corner. Yorkie, why don't you take it away?
Well, boys, what's going on? This week's Commissioner Corner is not really that to do with football. Personal life's kind of in shambles. Ozzy, I know what you're thinking about. Everything you're going through, mine's a little different. Got to figure out it's all basically my work situation and what's going to happen at home. So to make a long story short, the Raptors are probably going to be moving to Tampa Bay for the year. The decision probably, well, Tampa's been made, but the feds are going to basically come down and make our decision in the next days if there's any hope that we could play here. But it's do you move away for 6 to 8 months? Probably could be closer to 8 months, with training camp starting on December 1st, and the season going till June, July. So it's weighing on me. I got 2 kids at home, a wife on mat leave. So it's a big life choice coming down at the York household. So any insight from you guys? Andrew's kind of been my therapist the last couple of days. So any insight from you guys, we greatly appreciate. But it's a lot of stress going on in my head right now.
Well, Yorkie, I can imagine the stress. There's big decisions there, and no one wants to leave their family, especially with 2 little ones. But if there's a point of counsel I have for you here, don't go to Hendry to be your therapist. That guy, I don't know if he knows what he's going on in his own life.
It was more about travel and how could I make this work? And obviously I'm not going to travel down and go live in an Airbnb or a hotel with, you know, a 4-year-old, soon to be 5-year-old, and a 6-month-old and a wife. They're not going to pick up and, you know, move our entire house down to maybe an 800 square foot condo, so that could fit in our basement. So it's a lot of stress, and obviously it's what's going to happen potentially in my marriage and kids and, you know, everything. So
yeah, well, I guess we could I don't know, you know what, I'm going to bring in our guest here. I know he's been quiet. He's been waiting, anxiously to get in here, and he probably has some insights to help you out here. And I think a lot of the other GMs in the league will kind of give you their thoughts. And some of the guys have maybe gone through not what you're going through exactly, but other situations. But without further ado, I would just introduce our guest for this week, and maybe he can kind of give his thoughts as to what Yorkie should do. And maybe that could be a segment that we have going forward, what Yorkie should do. But the guest this week, Bill Gleed, Charlie Tweeter, welcome to the podcast. What do you have to say about Yorkie and the situation, the life situation that he's dealing with right now? Any insights?
Well, I'll tell you what, Yorkie, I feel for you. That's the first thing I want to say. That's a tough position to be in, man. I think you always got to put family first. I really do, especially when you have 2 kids at home. I mean, you can't be risking, compromising anything with that. So that's where my mind goes. But I would ask you, what are the Raptors offering as far as returning home, say, like during off days? Can you make trips home frequently to see family? What's the deal with that?
That's all these questions are still kind of up in the air. I mean, that will be kind of finalized. And as Kirky knows, and some of these guys know, the money is not an issue with the team and how they spend it. But it's things of like charter flights and private flights back and forth for family, things like that. That's all going to be still finalized, but is a 6 month old really gonna, is your wife really going to get on a plane and come down? Maybe she'll come and leave the kids home for a weekend, things like that. But there's that possibility, but it's the same, Kaylee's in school, so there's a lot. Yeah. But, there's that possibility. So,
Well, listen, I wish you the best on this one. It's not an easy position you're in. I hope as time goes here, I hope you get some good news as far as like being able to see your family, maybe being able to do both.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So,
and it's obviously family does come first, but it's there's a monetary aspect to it as well. Is that and I think I counted. There's 11 dads in this league, and they're, we've all know what your spouse makes on mat leave. So it's like, are you going to give up your entire income for potentially your family? And obviously it's money goes into it, obviously where we're at in 2020, but enough with
coming from a guy who runs a financial company and a financial firm. It is just a moment in time. Money, honestly, money is just one aspect, and there's so many things that are more important than money, and money will come and will go, and then when it being in a position where there's been points of my life where there's been times where you've been able to have money and then times when you haven't had money when starting a firm, I can tell you right now, living on you can probably make concessions to live on less, and you'll do what's right.
For sure.
I know.
Like in it, but it's like, it's a job I've had for 13 years.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not necessarily a job. It's family too. And it's your career, that you've worked so hard to maintain and do things in a business that not a lot of people can thrive in, and it's you guys see the high points and the low points, or more the high points, and there's obviously the closer guys in this league know about the low points, but at the same time it's are you going to throw everything away? So there's a lot that weighs into it. So it's but let's get into this.
I'm sure the listeners will weigh in this little segment as to what should Yorkie do. But yeah, let's get into it and let's kick off this week. If we kind of look at,
it's rivalry week, which is
huge, right? So we'll dig a little bit deeper on that in the Mo and the Dutch. I just want to kind of come back to something that came up, and I think in our previous podcast with Gary, and I think Billy, there was something that was mentioned during that podcast. And it kind of created a little bit of stir for a couple of days there. And I don't want to go too much into this. But what I'm talking about was there was a mention of creating a keepers and the keeper league. And what was your take on creating that? Were you on board with that? Was that something that, you're just like, no? What was your take on that?
Well, I like the idea of a keeper league because I think it adds an element to strategy that we don't already have. I just joined a dynasty football league this year, and I like the aspect of like making trades, thinking about future years, and so I enjoy that aspect of the strategy. So that's where I was coming from with that. Like, so say it's two players, two keepers. Everybody gets two keepers. And then we draft for the rest. We still get to enjoy like filling our roster at the draft, but we also get to hang on to players that we really like, So
yeah,
I like the idea.
I wonder if it would stifle trading and transactions. Like, I just traded Kelsey. I've traded Michael Thomas. I'll throw it out there. I would trade Kyler Murray right now, just because every time I make a trade, I win the next week. But like, I don't know. I've never been in a keeper league, so I have no idea if trades like that would happen less. Yorkie, do you have any takes on
how that
would impact trades and transactions amongst the leagues, the GMs?
Yeah, I think a lot of people still value their draft pick. So I picked this guy in the first round. I picked this guy in the second round. And that goes for, I mean, all like walks of life. If you say, well, I paid $200 for this jacket, I got to wear it every day compared to a $100 jacket. So you're always going to value what you've spent more monetary on, and monetaries obviously are the higher picks. Now, once I think you get into the season, deep into the season, and you need to start thinking about, you know, I got to win this week, buys, et cetera, you might look at trading those guys. But I think at the beginning, a lot of guys are going to want to hold on to their keepers, which are essentially going to, two keeper league, though, they're essentially your first two picks, because mm-hmm. you know we're going to start at round three. So I think a lot of guys would be hesitant on trading those guys, especially because they've held on to them for the previous year.
Yeah, I think it would just add a lot of aspects that we haven't had in this league, like in the draft orders. Like there's just making sure guys are sticking around in the league on an annual basis, like prepaying and stuff like that. There's just a lot of factors, and I don't want to belabor this because it was mentioned from G&J, who hasn't been the most vocal person in advocating for change in this league. So I don't want everyone to kind of jump on this bandwagon because one person said it who has been kind of quiet over the last few seasons. So. But I just noticed that, Bill, it was something that you
it's going to, as speaking, like as commissioner, not speaking for everybody, but I know Kirky and I've chatted a lot about this. It's going to take a lot for us to go to keeper leagues.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be a lot of stuff that needed to be finalized. Like how many keepers obviously we're not going to start this year because it'd have to be something you start at the beginning of the year and give every manager the opportunity to keep somebody, because let's look on Ozzie's team. I mean, there's Mike Evans only, the only one he'd want to keep. So you'd have to, not to rip Ozzie there, but you'd have to start at the beginning. And we've always kind of said, you know, we're a redraft league. We'd have to put parameters in of paying in advance. So
yeah, what are you talking about? Ozzie would keep Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Although he didn't play this week, he should have, but it wouldn't matter.
Franklin Bartholomew Gore, whatever he called them.
Gleeter. So this season, you've been very competitive throughout the whole season. It had some great weeks. I think you were even in there for a couple high weeks, if not at least one, if not more.
I had two.
Yeah. So, and I was very complimentary of you early in the season. You had a big loss this past weekend. And I know you've been making a lot of transitions. Are you happy with your squad? Are you still looking to make some big changes? What's going on in the GM head of Charlie Tweeter right now?
Well, you look at my squad, the way it started, it looked great on paper. And if I still had that team healthy, it would be unbelievable. I had Dak, Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones. And if I were to have made the waiver wire claims that I made throughout the season so far, I think my team would rival the way that Delly's looks on paper. I think it would have been awesome. But so now I'm looking at Tannehill at quarterback, which I trust, but I still think about Tannehill week to week, like based on who his opponent is. Whereas if you have Dak, you don't think about that as much. You can kind of just ride him throughout the season, right? Just like Kyler.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect, but overall I'm happy with the way the season has gone. I was thinking going into last week, Kirky, that I was going to come out of the week 6-3. I got Mr. Larson coming up this week, week 10, probably a competitive week, especially because CMC was going to be in the lineup. So I knew that was going to be tough. So I was thinking come out of this week, I might be might be 6-4. And then I have Delhi in week 11, which is going to be tough. Then I have Aussie week 12, so that's a win probably. And then week 13 is the Rev. So I've got a tough schedule coming up. And I took last week as like it was going to be a win, Kirky. So now I'm going to have to battle to get into the playoffs, especially with how competitive everything is. So I'm going to have to make sure everyone stays healthy and get some good production out of Aaron Jones and Devontae.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be competitive for the rest of the season. I ain't going to grind this out. So I have no idea. I have no idea who I'm playing for the rest of the season like you do. Yorkie, do you know who you're playing the rest of the season on the way out here?
No.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. You put me up against anyone and I'll compete. But yeah, I like playing a spoiler a little bit and making it tough for people. Now, Gleeter, you've made a couple deals and a couple transactions over the last few weeks. Are that mainly because of injuries? Were you just looking to make an upgrade at certain positions? What's kind of triggering a lot of these deals?
Just upgrading on certain positions. So I made a deal with Dud of the Week last week where I had Rojo, he had Mostert, and I noticed that he needed some potentially some help on running back. So I offered him a deal. I said, you know, how do we make a deal here? I'll take Mostert. And I'm like, well, what do you need? And he's like, oh, I'll take Rojo. So we made the deal, right? So he gets production now, whereas I bought production for later, right? So I was thinking like, I'm probably going to beat Kirky. I'm probably going to make the playoffs. I better have a really solid team for the playoffs. So yeah. I wanted Mostert for that, like week 12 and beyond, because I thought that he would be like, you know, San Fran's offense is running back heavy. I thought Mostert would put up some good production in the later weeks, so I could ride him and Aaron Jones. So I made that deal.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were just involved in a deal today, yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry for Cam Akers with Burnside. Was there a lot of talk going into that one? That kind of came at players. Like, what? Yeah. How did that even come about?
So I love when these trades happen. It's very rare when they happen. So I was looking at rosters to see who had Cam Akers because coming off a bye, he's got a lot of good pedigree. I think he's the kind of running back where they could easily go to him later in the season and just ride him from the after bye until the end of the season. So I was like, maybe I'll take a run at him. Let's see who has him. So I'm like, okay, Yaney has him. What do you think he'll need? Well, he looks like he needs a tight end. Perfect. I'll send an offer for a tight end.
Burnside, not Yaney. Burnside.
So Burnside. And so I sent Burnside the trade offer just on a whim, thinking he'll probably reject and not take it, but he took it. And I think on paper, he probably won the deal because Hunter Henry's a quality tight end. But right. I've got Austin Hooper, who I want to ride for the rest of the season because there's no Odell. And I think that he probably will get a lot of targets. So
right.
I was like, okay, I can – Hunter Henry's expendable. I can maybe take a run at Cam Akers. So that was the thought process behind that. So I'm trying to do things like that where I have like – good bench stashes that can be handy for me later in the season.
Well, yeah, I remember speaking to you about one transaction. You asked for my input. I think you got Latavius Murray back from somebody, but you traded. I can't remember who went the other way.
Okay, this is a good one. This is a good one to talk about because you remember when G&J was on this podcast,
right?
Gary was on this podcast, and you guys were riding him about not making trades with anybody other than Yorkie.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I listen to the podcast. I'm like, I'm going to try to take advantage of this, see if I can get a deal done with Gary because I'd be motivated to make a deal with someone else. So I'm like, okay, well, what can I do? And I had just listened to this podcast on like what running backs to stash. And it was like Latavius Murray came up. So I'm like, oh, shit, like I'm a little bit weak on running back. Maybe I'll grab Latavius just in case I need him. If Kamara goes down, he'll put up some big points, right? Like a league winner type of player.
Right.
So anyway, Gary and I got in discussion and I tell you what, he's a really good negotiator. He's clearly a lawyer. He's probably a very good lawyer. And we got in some deep discussion and we went back and forth for like probably a full day and finally landed on Amari Cooper. And basically it was Amari Cooper for Latavius Murray. So
yeah.
And looking back, I know your first reaction to me, Kirk, like a minute after the trade went up, was like, who do you value in this trade? Because because obviously when you look at it on paper, and when I look back now, I actually regret the trade, because this is when Dak went down. There was some quarterback issues in Dallas. And I was thinking Amari Cooper was kind of, you know, his production would be down for the rest of the year. So I was going to like trade him and try to get some value from him. But now I'm thinking, like, if Latavius doesn't play at all for the rest of the season and Kamara stays healthy, that was probably a bad deal, because Amari Cooper is probably going to be the wide receiver one in Dallas, and they're going to probably right the ship and figure it out. So I'm looking back now kind of regretting that deal, but it is what it is.
Well, so that deal was done on October 30th. So there's been two games with Amari Cooper and since then. And he's got 1.5 points and 12.5 points. This past week, I think against the Cowboys, and they had Gilbert in as a QB there. They looked like a little bit better than whoever they – I don't even know who they had in. I think they had Ozzy in there as a QB in week 8, but it was a mess out there for him. So it's just – to me, looking at it, I always try to – visualize, you know, who won the trade by the best player, who got the best player in the trade. And I think in that trade, Amari Cooper is probably going to get the most points from here until the end of the season of any players in that trade. But he's got, a low floor now, right? His ceiling's still high. But when you look at Latavius Murray, you know, he's getting your kind of 6 to 8 points, and, you know, maybe you throw him in as a bye week flex or something like that. So he could come into needing, I think Amari Cooper could be a starter and will be a starter for sure on most squads. But he could lead to losses too.
I think the floor on Amari also obviously got lowered and the ceiling got lowered too. But if you look at that deal, once you lost Dak, you're going to lose the elite Amari Cooper, and he's still going to be a WR1 just on a bad team. So in all reality, you could draft, let's say, Amari Cooper. Would you take him in the second or third round? Third round, Billy?
Third round. Yeah.
So like, if you look at it and you're valuing as your third rounder, well, the value of him's actually gone down to probably a sixth rounder or even seventh, because Dak's gone and their whole offense is gone, and now, you know, someone's can't get him the ball, and it's all like running backs. You're always going to value running backs, and Kamara's, we're all one injury away from, and he's one injury away of being, who's got an injury history of being an elite number one running back. So I don't think the can regret the trade that much.
It's still early. Yeah, still early. Mm-hmm. It's only been 2 weeks. Now, Gleeter, you're obviously very active in the league. You've dealt with multiple GMs. Who do you like dealing with the most in other GMs? And who is just someone in your mind that just for whatever reason can't get a deal done? Who's tough to deal with?
All right, Ozzy is the best to deal with, because it's just hilarious. Interacting with Ozzy is always a blast. And who else do I have good conversations with? I think, you know, Jordan Winter and I, we get into some good chats about trades. We try to make everything as fair as possible for both of us, and make sure that we're both kind of leave the trade happy. It's probably based on our personalities, but who else? Who's tough to deal with? I don't know that. I don't know that I've ever experienced anyone being tough to deal with. Who did I try to make a trade?
But you can't today? Say dealing with Hendry is a pleasure.
Yeah. So Hendry and I were back and forth on something earlier today, and he was trying to fleece me pretty clearly. So I don't love that, but like who does love that? And I've certainly been on the other side of trying to fleece someone too. So that's fine. But, Yaney and I were back and forth today on something, and he clearly wanted to, make sure that he got the best player out of the deal. And, I respect him for it, but there wasn't any discussion or talk around it. So I felt like that was a tougher trade negotiation experience.
Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned J-Well, and I told him I was going to bring this up on the pod, but he seems like a man of character, a man of his word, and I always hold Jay Wow in very, very high regard. He came down a few notches in my books this past week. So, you know, he does his analysis, I think, on a lot of teams and understanding. I think a lot of guys knew, and I was in discussion with Delamere this past week, a lot of guys knew that I need to do something because I needed a win. And I was in a situation where I had Kelsey as a starting tight end and had Gronk, who has been putting up numbers in Tampa, and I think he scored, you know, a touchdown in the last 3 weeks. So I was good. I ended up moving both of them. But Jay Wow knew kind of that situation. So he comes at me out of the blue. And I didn't even say this guy was available. He offers something for Kelsey. He goes, one player for Kelsey. And I said, I would do that deal. And then kind of crickets for a little bit. And he's like, okay, whoa, let me stew on it for a little bit. And I was just like, okay. I didn't say anything back to that. And then, like, I don't know, 48 hours later, I came back to him. I said, so are we going to do this deal? He's like, no, I'm working on something else, so I can't do it anymore. So I was just like, and in fact, a deal going with him the other way. I did the exact same thing to him the other way. I said, Juju for Jarvis Landry earlier in the season. And he said, I'll take that deal. After me stewing on it for another 30 seconds, I'm like, man, I don't want to do this deal anymore. But because I offered it to him, I ended up going forward with it. But he did not do that in return to me. So anyways, a little bit credibility notches down for J-Well. So
okay, so you're saying that if you offer someone a deal and then they in turn rescind that deal in the process of negotiation, that's not
in all fairness to J-Well, this was a text message back and forth. It wasn't like he had literally put position or sent an offer through Yahoo.
No, but I agree. Like if you send a deal and says, hey, I'm going to send you this player for that player, and is it a deal without even sending it over Yahoo, that should be a deal. And you say, yes, let's go ahead and do it. You send it or I send it. You could be at the office or busy. I'll send it later, but we have a deal. That's a deal.
Well, yeah, so I agree with and Jay Wall totally backed away from that. And the other thing about that is, like, the text message came through, it was literally a player for a player. That was the only thing in the text message. Now, I'm fine if Jay Wells like, hey, I'm thinking about this, you know, would you be interested in discussing a deal and including these two players? Like, it's just how you position it. You know what I mean? Like, some
for sure.
just coming out and offering, saying in one text, X for X, versus, you know, elaborating on a little bit more and trying to, as Hendry would say, start the conversation. So, anyways, Gleeter, the other question I got for you, I just want to know, like, you know, you and Bondo go way back. We haven't talked about Bondo too much, other than kind of giving them flack on how bad his team is relative to his position in the standings. But is he somebody that you deal with often?
I've had conversations with Bondo about trades. Yeah, and he's tough to, like, actually get a hold of. I find.
Yeah.
To, like, actually have a conversation about it. Like, you have to kind of, like, go to him a couple times before he writes back, and he's tough. I feel like he's the kind of guy that likes, like, when he picks his team, he likes that team, and it's tough for him to let go of players. I could be wrong, but that's what I read from him.
Yeah, well, and you're right. He's just Bondo.
You gotta send him a message at 4 a.m.
Yeah, you gotta send him a message at 4 a.m. because he's up, but he's Bondo being Bondo, right? So sometimes not the most communication is not his forte. He's
a great Barry boy, though. You go way back to high school. Great guy.
Yeah, very good. All right, so Yorkie, let's kind of get into the last week, right? So we've kind of discussed, I kicked Charlie Tudor's ass last week. You were in a tough matchup with Shooter McGavin, a high-scoring matchup. What was going on in that matchup? Was there things to watch for in the Sunday or Monday nighter? I wasn't really paying attention to your matchup.
Yeah, I had Damian Harris who shit the bed. He ended up getting hurt. But I had Jacoby Myers on the bench, ended up getting me 20-something points. So, yeah, and I'm actually was kind of hoping New England would have lost that game. let's just tank for this year and reset everything and start another dynasty. But that's for another conversation. And then he, Dalvin Cook, what can you say? He's been the MVP lately. Got to get the season. He walks in into the stadium and he gets 30-something points.
Yeah, that. So yeah, you did have a lot of implications on the Monday night. Like, yeah, Harris and also, whatever, like Mayers or Myers.
Jacoby Myers. Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching that game. There was a lot of action. A lot of action in the WhatsApp chat on that game, which I didn't expect for. What are they? 2-5 and an 0-8 team. But that was
Myers ended up having 12 catches on 14 targets. So it's like fuck.
Yeah, they were chucking the ball to him. And then Harris actually went down in the fourth quarter, which I was kind of happy about. I don't to get happy about guys that go down, but I think that was the first Patriots game I'd watched beginning to end all season, and I'm like, what the hell is James White doing on my team? Like, he plays every other third down. He's ridiculous, but...
I think James White's obviously, when your mom dies in a car accident, and none of us can relate to that, but like it's who knows where he is actually, where his head's at too.
Yeah, well he got four or five catches, but
let's actually get into the dramatics of what happened in that matchup, because I was watching it too. I was watching the second half of that game on Monday night, and what happened was Damien Harris, all he needed was six points.
He needed to touch him. And he had and reached for the goal line, and I'm like, no.
I know. And I was watching your matchup closely because I wanted you to beat Shooter McGavin, and it was almost as painful as I'm sure it was for you, for me, because I was watching it so closely. And then when I saw Damien Harris go out, because he was starting, what was happening, he was starting to get involved with the drives early in the second half. And so you were thinking, like, okay, he's going to get a lot of points this half. Like, this is going to get him over top of Shooter McGavin this week, and all of a sudden he goes down with an injury. That was brutal.
And then another thing with last week, and this is, it hasn't happened yet all year. Luke Stewart wins with 96 points.
Oh my God.
He beats Ozzie 96-68. Luke Stewart would have lost to every other manager. Mm-hmm. Every other manager would have beat him. And, like, you look, Terry Green Machine, 105 points, and you're like, shit the bed. Would have got a win. 103 by Henry would have got a win.
So, Yorkie, this is a theme. This is a theme for you on these podcasts where you bring this up. So, like,
happened to you? How does it make you feel? G&J earlier this season, right, Yorkie?
Yeah, I scored 160-something points.
Yeah.
Lose.
So, you're thinking, Yorkie, that, like, if you had better luck this year, you'd be 6-3 as opposed to 3-6.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the guys in the standings, that are in the top, like Henry and Bondo.
Oh, catch yourself. Don't say Ozzy.
No, I wasn't saying Ozzy. Let's take Ozzy right out of it. But, like, if you look at, Bondo's team, he's got, 1,093 points, and that's the third least amount of points in the league. And he's got 1,072 points against, and that's the third least or fourth least points against, and Henry's got the third least points against, and it's like, come on.
Yeah, it's so, it's just a weird league. We're kind of looking at the standings. We got a blog like
Shooter
in first place.
Shooter McGavin and I each have 1,160. He's got 1,167 points, and I got 1,166 points. We both have 1,200 points against. And look at our records. And if, let's say, Bondo had 1,200 points against, where would his record be? Probably would be the opposite.
Yeah, in the midseason awards, I think an MVP, or I guess the scariest team, was given out to Shooter McGavin. But I got to think now that's probably changing to Rev. He's got a great squad. He's got that Seahawks combo. He's got tons of points. He's got Travis Kelce now, strong running backs. I think this was mentioned after the trade where he did get Kelce. It's like everyone else is playing for second place. Galeeter, would you agree with that? Looking at Rev's squad now?
I, You know, I don't agree with that, actually. I think it's beatable. I think, for one, like, his flex position is tricky. He's got, like, both wide receivers in Cincy. So, like, they can't both go off in the same game, although that has happened. But they're going to be in tough with their division matchups going forward. And then you have Daryl Henderson. He could lose that job. He could lose that lead back job in L.A. So, and Dobbins, I don't think he's got, like, that shared backfield. I don't think he's going to pop off and have great point games going forward. Cooks, like, I don't know. I don't think that his team is as good as it looks. But Russell Wilson and Lockett are a great combo.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think and Russell's probably the MVP right now. I mean, Mahomes is making a case and Dalvin Cook's making a case. But, like, if you look at Tyler Lockett, he's got 17 points, 19 points, 37 points, and then he went to 5, 8, 53 points, 7, and 8. So it's, like, great or, like, wide receiver 3. And he's got wide receiver 3 points in, like, 4 weeks. And so, they've had their bye. So, like, I think I have DK, and it's, like, DK is the same thing. He's either, like, really good or he's, like, 10 points. And so I think, like, in Seattle's case, Seattle's defense is terrible. Like, and they have to outscore everyone. Like, they have to outscore everyone. And if you look at, like, Russell's points, he's got 40, 43, 46, 49, 28, 32, 39, 39, and 30. So it's like you're going to get at least 30 points from Russell. And some quarterbacks, you just hope they can get 23 points.
Yeah. The thing about Cosby and how he's assembling a team is he will grind. And I think he could probably, like, he just seems to make the right move at the right time. And sometimes it's backfired. In previous years, it's backfired on them for sure because of injuries. But it seems as though the moves he's making this year, whether it's trades or whether it's waiver wire pickups, and sticking with a core, and I think his core is the Wilson Lockett combo, it seems to have been working for him. So it's just, you know, the stars are aligning for Rev, and he could be revving up throughout the whole season or going into the playoffs and getting pretty strong. Now, if we look at, you know, that was a little recap of week 9, let's kind of transition to kind of what's been going on this week. And then get into the matchups in the rivalry week. Yorkie, do you got the kind of waiver wires? Like, was some action last night? One thing I noticed is that the 3 a.m. club was actually happening at around 4. So I don't know if that kind of threw off people. Gleeter, were you actually up for this morning for the 3 o'clock? So maybe you could tell us if you were.
I got up. Yeah, I set the alarm because I wanted to get New Orleans defense. So I set the alarm, woke up 3 a.m. and they were not available. So I went back to sleep. But then I saw.
What a waste! I can't believe you guys do that stuff.
It's not. What I'm realizing is that it's not worth it.
No, it's not.
Can you see straight? Can you, when you set your alarm for like 3 a.m.? Can you look at your phone and actually see what you're looking at?
Yeah, I always find
I'm blurry as hell, and I'm like, I tried it, and I'm like, I can't see shit right now. I'm going back to bed.
Yeah. I did it once too. It was terrible.
I don't think it makes a difference. Like, I don't think you get like great players when you do that. But and then it took another hour for what to happen, for Luke Hendry to get Bridgewater at 4:15 a.m. and, you know, Rev to pick up Los Angeles defense and then probably drop them right after. Like, so things like that, right? So did they wake up at 3 and then, like, stay up for the whole night or what? Stay up for another hour and a half?
No, I think instead of doing it at 3 o'clock and end up doing it at 4 a.m.
The 3 a.m. club was open for a long time, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. So just no one made a move between 3 and 4. I see.
Well, I guess there was maybe a couple, though. Was there not? Like
let's go waivers. So the waiver wars really were done for 3 players: Duke Johnson,
Figured he would have.
And he was the top priority player, and Chubb Nation put in one, and he was 12. Gus Edwards went to Ozzy, and Luke Stewart and Comeback Kid put a waiver claim in there, and then Ryan Nall went to Luke Stewart again, put two claims in. So, but they ended up going through at 448.
Right. Now, those are the ones that had...
those are the ones that had bids on it, yeah. So those are waiver wars. And then added players. Let's look.
Now, Yorkie, yeah. One of the things I was trying to get Duke Johnson and put a waiver claim in on him, but I wasn't allowed to. Is that because he was part of
mine? Did you have him last? Did you drop him? Yeah.
He was part of my blitz drop last week.
Yeah. If you had a player and he had, like, you were the last manager to have him, you cannot put a waiver claim into him. You can only pick him up as a free agent.
There we go. Huh. Okay. Didn't know that.
So basically gives every other manager a chance to pick him up.
Yeah. It looked as though Stufart tried to mimic what I was doing. And he went on a dropping blitz yesterday morning, and then obviously made some claims last night. Well, in 4:40 this morning. So, so Gleeter, I don't know how you guys get up at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. and do that stuff, but the dedication is off the charts. So good for you.
I think I'm going to stop doing it.
Gotta get sleep now.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Boys, I just built a shed. I'm moving out there. I'm hoping that we'll get some sleep out there. But anyways, come January.
Run the electrical out of the shed.
I got the electrical out there. The electrical's out there. That's a good idea. I haven't put a TV out there yet, Mike.
You might need some heat in come January.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. I got some heaters. All right, okay. Looking out to rivalry week, what do we got on top here, boys? First off, Yorkie, do you know why they call Week 10 rivalry week? Like, what's going on there? Why is it this week?
Before the season, you can pick it as a commissioner, and it's week 9 through 11, you can pick as rivalry week, and it's something that you do even before the schedule is made. You just pick a week.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Well, I guess it makes sense. Kind of week 10, there's a lot of things happening right now with, four games left of the regular season. So a lot of big games. So, all right. Well, let's get into it. I know there's a lot of hype being named into the Mo. Gleeter, looking at this, who do you got in some matchups that you're watching this weekend?
Oh, just looking at the board, G&J versus Blackout Bobby is, I think, really interesting. Just as far as where the standings are, Blackout Bobby's obviously making a push to get up there in the standings. G&J is always a tough team. I think that's a really interesting one to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting matchups in that one, for sure.
Definitely. And then I got Henry versus Delhi at second versus 10th place.
I got that one too. And it would have been something if you could have beaten Delamere this past week. Delamere at 3-6. He's obviously not now. But for him to go, a big matchup, they got some big projection points, which I don't really care about anymore projected points, because I don't think it matters. But yeah, I think that to me, I think that's the Mo and a lot of action going on there. Let's see if any of these guys are playing on Monday night.
So in that matchup is interesting. I was talking to Hendry about this earlier, and it actually it's favoring Hendry in a way, because it looks like Mixon's not going to play. So if he doesn't play, and if say is Michael Thomas injured or potentially injured.
No, well, Thomas
he played. He played last.
That's true. He'll play, yeah. But they're spreading the ball around a lot.
And he'd have to go Alexander Mathis. He doesn't have another running back. Or you put DeAndre Swift in, but put Brandon Ayuk in.
Right, Ayuk into the flex and Swift up. Yeah, he still is a solid team there. But
yeah, it's going to come down Monday night with Dalvin Cook.
So this is I'm hoping it does come down to the Monday night with Dalvin Cook in that matchup. I got to think Hendry will come out and be leading that matchup before Delvin Cook plays, right? So yeah, I think this is one to watch, and not only is it one to watch for standings in the UFFL, it's one to watch that gives all of us something to watch on Monday night. So it'll be interesting to hear what Delly Dimes have to say about that matchup.
And then the other thing I wanted to chat about this matchup, Henry picked up Teddy Two Glove on a waiver claim as his quarterback. So he waited until the waiver wire and an important week, knowing that Matt Ryan was on the bye, to get his quarterback.
Do a waiver claim. He didn't pick up Teddy Two Glove on a waiver claim. He literally
picked
him up.
He did. Right? Yeah, he just picked him up. Yeah. So that's even surprising, knowing that you have two defenses, and in this league right now, with defenses on how they are, with the reconfiguration of their point structure. I mean, I would have dropped a defense right away and said, "Okay, I need a quarterback," and figured out how I'm going to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I mean, it worked out. I mean, Teddy Two Glove, I mean, he's come on strong the last couple weeks, but he's got no McCaffrey this week. And last week, last time when he played Tampa Bay, he got 12 points. So.
Right.
Just keep throwing to Curtis Samuel.
Mm-hmm. He's a stud.
He is Curtis a stud.
Curtis Samuel. That's a great pickup. Did you get waiver claim on him?
I got waiver claim on him.
Yeah, waiver claim on him.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he's going to be the pickup of the year. All right, turning the attention to the dud. What do we got in the dud for this week? Gleeter, as our guest, give you a moment to look through that. But what do you think when it comes to the matchup that means nothing? Which one would that be?
Yorkie, you have a good team. Like, you have a good team, so it's not a reflection of the quality of your team. But, yeah, you against Ozzie, gotta say that's the dud.
Oh, I agree. I put myself in the dud.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. It's almost like, at this point, it's like stressful playing Ozzie, I think. Right? Like,
Who did Ozzie beat?
Me. It's terrible. Yeah, I know.
That's why you say it's stressful.
I know. But, like, Yorkie, especially in your situation, like, against G&J putting up massive points, Shooter McGavin putting massive points and not massive, but a good week and not winning. I just don't hope you blow your load on those ones and then come up with a stinker against Locker Room Ledgy, whatever his name is.
Locker Room Ledgy. But you know what? If you look at his roster, right, it's actually set up to have a decent week. Like, you think Tom Brady is not going to let his team have two duds in a row. So you would think Michael Evans and Tom Brady put up a lot of points. Keenan Cole is playing against Green Bay. Easier matchup. Ruggs could well, like, this is a decent... he's got, like, T.Y. Hilton's not going to do anything. So
no,
I still like... discount Belichick's chances here, but
is T.Y. Hilton going to play?
Or is he I don't know.
Like, he honestly, said he was removed.
If Ozzie listens to this podcast, put in somebody else. T.Y. Hilton is not good.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Let's come up with a suggestion for Ozzie to sub in.
I would say anyone, Gus Edwards, like
Richie James.
Like, how much of a disappointment has Mark Ingram been?
Oh, massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd say Gus Edwards, like, put anyone, like, you know, he's getting a high single digit points in the last few weeks. That's true.
You picked him up, didn't he?
Yeah, I wanted him. I had him on the waiver claim.
I dropped him too a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're in agreement. Discount Belichick versus Locker Room Ledger. We'll see if,
is there a reason
Brady comes back to haunt Discount Belichick? We'll see if it happens again.
Is there a thing, like, is it supposed to be like a Locker Room Legend or something?
And you just and there's not enough characters to fit it, so he had to make it Ledgy.
Did you confirm that with him?
Yeah, I did, because I actually gave him the idea. I said, you got to change your name to one of two things, Locker Room Legend or the Mueller's. And he decided to go with Locker Room Ledgy.
Yeah. I could change it to the Mueller's right now if I wanted to.
Do it.
He'll have a shit fit and call Kirky and saying there's collusion and this is worse than Biden stealing the election and all that crap.
So it's interesting, just to throw it out there, last week in the dud, Cosby threw this dud out in the WhatsApp chat. He had discount Belichick versus Shooter McGavin the dud. So much for that being the dud, eh? That was a great matchup. Came down to the Monday Nighter, very entertaining. But Cosby, wrong. All right. Now, what we're going to do here, we have this special segment called Deli Dimes, right? And he gives his picks. So I just want to review his picks. If you guys could pull up the scores, the NFL scores from last week, and we'll see how his picks
turned out. Okay, let's go to the scores.
Yeah, go to the scores, and I will.
I got okay. Here.
So he had Arizona -4.5. I think that didn't...
That's lost. They lost the game. So it's...
Yeah. New Orleans +5.5 and the money line.
So you won that.
So New Orleans, what'd they win by?
38-3.
Oh, yeah, right. They played the Bucks. Yeah, that was a good one. Way to go, Deli. And the Texans -6.5.
No.
So he's 2-4.
Texas, 127-25. What was the other game? That's three games.
So he had four bets on but the money line on the Saints game. So yeah. Anyways, that is
he took Houston as a 6-point favorite on the road.
Yeah.
Division game. Deli's Dimes. As speaking about Deli's Dimes, you need to make those picks Saturday. Saturday should be Deli's Dimes picks or Sunday morning. With COVID and everything going on right now, you cannot be making picks on Wednesday or Thursday. That's my suggestion. I mean, like, look at Ben Roethlisberger. He might not play this week. Baker Mayfield just got off the COVID list. We with COVID, I mean, the whole situation is going to be fucked up. Games could be canceled. Yeah. Make picks Saturday or Sunday morning when you know games are going to be played for sure. And I think that's going to change the betting lines too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what's the point of Deli's Dimes? Because I'm a little slow. Like, does he just give us his picks and then
yeah.
we like,
he does like four, we can use picks. Them? Like, okay. like he's
does
like a
team. He's like a degenerate gambler and he's kicked off of Bet365. Like he was betting on like arbitrage, like esports gambling, like just so he's a degenerate, right? So we've just given him.
But
a little...
How do you get kicked off? How do you get kicked off? They're having to take your money.
I don't know. I have no idea. He can't. From my understanding, he can't make bets on Bet365 now. He has to go to Pinnacle.
It's not like Instagram where you're posting nudes or something. They kick you off. We're taking your money here.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he calls them, like calls their 1-800 number and like they like know him at these sites and stuff like this. Like, yeah. But when COVID first hit, he was betting on like esports, and he would, I don't know how he was doing it, but he can give you the tutorial one day. Anyway, so the whole situation is he thinks he's a good gambler, and he's giving us his insights, taking it, and he says take it to the bank. But obviously, if anyone follows his bets, you can't take it to the bank. So,
as we've all been to Vegas, Vegas was built on winners, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, all right. So I think that's kind of the full agenda we ran through. So. Gleeder, thanks for joining us and overdue as a guest. You were the last new, you're the still the rookie in the league, but it's a pleasure to have you in here. You're a great addition to the league with your team name, with your emoji, with your interactions in the WhatsApp chat and the other GMs. You make this league a better time. So thank you for that, and thank you for bringing the energy to this podcast. I think all the listeners will enjoy it.
As Gleeder, the three of us are all graduates or alumni of UW Foster.
You got it. That's true. Yeah. Go way back, boys. This is great. It's just good. It's good to be part of the league, man. I really appreciate it. I've been getting into it now, like this year more than ever because of COVID probably. But like, I seriously have an addiction to fantasy football this year, but it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, if you ever want to talk a trade, text Gleeder and he'll chat.
Oh yeah, I'm always ready. Yeah. All right, boys.
All right, Leader. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
And Yorkie, keep us posted on what's going on in the personal life, and we'll whatever you do, we're all behind you, and we'll support you. But yeah,
well, there's still hope. There's still hope that we play here.
Yeah, let's get this vaccine out, distributed across the whole entire country, because this COVID thing sucks. All right, boys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you in 7 days, and good luck, everyone, in Rivalry Week, Week 10. Bye for now.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll be right back.